Good evening, ladies and gents. Welcome to Snell Nation. So I wanted to talk about racism in America. And I just kind of give my perspective, my two cents. And I think it's a farce. I think it's nonsense. And I think it's a ploy push through propaganda to keep us at each other's throats as they raid the treasury and certain individuals and certain organizations secure more political clout and power. And well, that's it. All right. Hey, you guys take care. Good night. No, there's a little more. It's that question comes up. I've traveled quite a bit over the years outside of the U.S., and that question comes up more times than not. Maybe it's, well, I'm sure it's because of the fact that I'm black on paper, as I like to say. And I have that look. So that's the question that comes up, especially when I travel to East Asian countries. And, you know, it'll just be, hey, is it really as bad as they say on the news or as bad as I've heard? And it fascinates me. Even just watching the media, just what's pushed in other countries when they talk about the U.S. and racism is, it's right up there. It's racism and gun violence. And that seems to be the big, the big talking points when it comes to America and then followed by politics. But it's amazing just how powerful, that propaganda can be. Even to people in this country, the fact that you can convince, you know, 43 million people, that's the rough estimate as far as the black population in this country. You can convince that many people or a large portion of them that no matter what they do, no matter how hard they try or how much time they put in, how much education they have, networking that they do, you know, there'll always be, the man will be holding them back. And which is a great excuse that you can just sort of hand over to someone, you know, for any failures they have. You know, they don't have to take any responsibility or any onus on anything. They can just blame it on the system. They can blame it on slavery, the legacy of slavery and Jim Crow and all that good stuff. And it amazes me just how many people still fall for that stuff. You'll still have people taking a knee and with their fists in the air and they'll, you know, I'm black and I'm proud and all that good stuff. And, you know, the thing that pops in my head, well, first is the fact that should you really be proud of something that you didn't actually have to work to achieve? It was something that was an attribute that you were just born with, you know. And then second is, you know, are you really listening to what you're saying? You know, there's implications that come with that when you forfeit agency and you hand over, you know, your ability to achieve or the likelihood of your success over to some other entity that tells you, hey, don't worry, it's going to be okay. I'm going to look out for you. I'm going to protect you from the bad guys. You know, I'm going to protect you from the man. You know, we're here to save you. We're your saviors. You know, it really takes you out of the driver's seat. And once you have so many generations, you know, not so many, you can just have one or two generations that, you know, fall into that and accept that. And then you have a recipe for disaster, and we're seeing it play out. We're seeing, you know, two to three generations that, you know, bought into that, that no matter what they do, you know, it's slavery, Jim Crow, and, you know, racism, and the, you know, the biggest threat to their life and the most important thing is racism and white supremacy, you know, and even though they haven't witnessed it, They don't know any friends that have witnessed it. They just know that that's what the media is talking about all the time. And anytime there's one story, they'll play it to death and just run it into the ground. And a lot of times they'll twist a lot of the details and everything to make sure it fits their narrative, and then they'll ignore other things that do not fit their narrative. And while at the same time rewriting history, you know, which we've seen a great deal of that with, you know, especially last year with tearing down, you know, Confederate statues and that sort of thing. And that was the focus for months, you know, because, yeah, that's far more important than understanding money creation or, you know, the Federal Reserve and how it sets interest rates or, you know, the way Wall Street works or all the things that, you know, drastically impact our lives and our futures far more than some statue of some Confederate general, you know. But it's that powerful media propaganda. They push it hard and they keep on just beating you over the head with it. Just racism, 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 you know, where we're seeing it in everything, you know, at all times. I mean, that's the steady diet that we've been on for so many years that, hey, you are what you eat, you know? So we've consumed so much of it that it's become a part of us, to the point at which, you know, the silliest things will come up, the silliest questions about, you know, racism and some questions will be, you know, thrown at me and a lot of times I'll give answers and based off of my observations. Of course, it's my opinion based on my experience, the things that I've witnessed over the years. You know, I'm not 80 years old, I'm 38, but I've traveled a great deal and I've spent a lot of time in different places around different people and different environments. And yeah, so I'm always happy to just kind of lend my perspective and put it out there. But it's interesting when someone will ask me, you know, well, what are your thoughts on racism in America? And I give this answer, kind of like what I said at the very beginning of this podcast. Like, I believe it's a farce. I believe it's not as big of an issue as people believe it is. And the only reason they believe it's a major issue is because the media just won't let go of it. And if CNN and Fox News and MSNBC and then all of our politicians are pushing this, then it must be a major issue. There can be no other ulterior motive to them trying to push something like this and to keep us all just stirred up and focus on just social issues. That's it. We can't focus on anything else. We can't become intimate with just our political structure and our institutions and our economic system or even the education system. You know, we need to just focus on social issues. We need to argue about, you know, extra bathrooms or something for transgender or something like that. We need to argue about that for like 5 or 10 years because that makes sense. Well, at the same time, you can ask just American on the street, hey, where does money come from? How's money generated? And I've watched so many shorts of this where so many had no clue. Or they were asked, hey, just what are your thoughts on the Federal Reserve? You know, and you can see in their answer that they don't understand that the Federal Reserve is not a part of our government. It's a private bank cartel. You know, but we can't get to those things. We can't get to talking about campaign finance reform. We can't talk about tax reform. We can't talk about eliminating lobbying or restricting lobbying in Washington or the corporate influence over our legislative branch to the point where they're influencing and writing a lot of our bills that become law and impact all of our lives because we're just sitting here arguing over just trivial, just nonsense. And I know someone will jump up and throw some anecdotal, well, remember that time, like a couple years ago when this thing happened and well, yeah, see, look at that racism. Yeah, that may be true, that particular incident, but that doesn't make the country racist. And making statements like that, it makes me wonder, well, are you racist? Because you're really pushing this hard. And even with, of course, we just had the that Chauvin case where he was found guilty. of murdering George Floyd, and that was the big thing last year, all the way into this year. And I've had people point to that and say, look, see, racism. Okay, so how? How did you come to that conclusion? I mean, where's the evidence? Murder? Hey, sure. But racism, where's that at? Like, where did he scream out the N-word? Or where did he, you know, when did that part happen? Because I somehow missed that. But the media has us so fixated on it and obsessed. I mean, it really is an obsession at this point that we see it in everything. And right now the flavor is, black oppressed, white oppressor. So anytime if it's someone white and someone black, then of course the person who's black is the weak individual that needs help. And the white individual is the evil, terrible, oppressive, whatever, you know, instantly the bad guy. And if they're a cop, instantly the bad guy. And another side effect to this type of obsession is the real victims get lost in the shuffle. You know, we've had so many incidences where young white males have been shot by police officers, and some of those police officers were black and Hispanic. But those individuals, they don't face any type of due process. There's no real justice in there because there's no focus on it. If the media doesn't talk about it, then it's as if it didn't happen. No one's protesting in the streets or anything like that. You know, justice for this person, justice for that person. Say their name and all that, all the other cliches that they like to throw out there to galvanize. But that's what happens when you have all these people just pushing one angle. It's absolutely, I don't want to use the word amazing. I'll say astonishing. And awful. Because you can see, if you step back and just really look at it, you can see the incentive. You can see the money that's flowing through the race industry. And when I bring this up, for some reason, I mean, there's always someone that'll provide a response or a rebuttal as if that's impossible. There's no way there are individuals out there making millions of dollars, billions in some cases. And, you know, the bottom line is, you know, if you have the support of the government, if you have the support of celebrities, if you have the support of corporate America, there's a problem. You're not some sort of resistance or some sort of, you know, counterculture something. Like, I mean, you're not unique or special. There's a reason why you have all that support, all those donations from corporations and all that. There's a reason why they have a vested interest and they intend to cash in on that investment. If not now, then in the not too distant future. And that in itself, I mean, that speaks volumes about these organizations like Black Lives Matter and these race hustlers like the Al Sharptons of the world. And, you know, I'll even throw the Obamas in there as well. And then you have these celebrities, of course, they'll jump up anytime there's a shooting. And they do it so quickly that they don't check all the details. And every once in a while, they'll make a mistake. And it's, you know, Twitter, I mean, it moves at the speed of light. You know, the second you type it in and then you post it, and then, oh, wait, there's more details. Oh, wait, those cops are trying to save someone else who was black from being killed by someone who was black. And, you know, that leads me into this, you know, a lot of people like to talk about black on black crime. And of course, the rebuttal to that is, well, wait a minute, there's white on white crime. And yes, there is. But of course, the difference is uncanny. The numbers are uncanny. And the fact that our footprint in this nation is so small, 13.7% of the population, but we commit so much of the crime, and then so much crime against other blacks, And you look at these shootings and things that happen a lot of times in urban areas, areas that are predominantly black. The person who got shot 9 times out of 10 is a convicted felon or was fleeing, you know, or they had a warrant for their arrest for some other violent crime or something of that nature. And people get in an uproar and they want to know why are those police there? Well, the police, they tend to go where they're needed and they're requested. The people in that community requested that additional police presence. And I know that because I grew up in a pretty rough area. And there was a period where there weren't a lot of police. And then there were more cops because people in the community were begging for it. So big shocker, you bring in more police to deal with all the criminals, the drug dealers and everything else that's happening in your community. And the funny thing about criminals, sometimes they don't listen to the police. They're criminals. Sometimes they don't obey the law. And unfortunately, it doesn't always end well for them. Now, yes, there are some incidences that are incredibly tragic. And it shows a great deal of ignorance and incompetence on the side of the arresting officer or officers in that case. And sure, I'm all for true justice, true harmony. So they should face swift justice just like anyone else. They should go through and be judged by a jury of their own peers and all that stuff, because that's what real justice is. Of course, what we're seeing now and what we saw last year was just a whole lot of vengeance, a whole lot of emotional activation where, you know, no logic, no reason, just raw rage. You know, it's pretty wild stuff. But getting back to this whole, you know, racism in America, no. Are there racist people? Sure. There's racist black people. There's racist white people. There's racist Asians, racist Hispanics, racist Native Americans. You have ignorant people across the spectrum. You know, no one has a monopoly on this, but the media is convinced us that it's one-sided. I mean, and hopefully, I hope enough people wake up to this and see the financial side of this. And it's about money and power and influence and why the politicians won't let go of this. Why you have, you know, the Obamas, you know, sitting in their multi-million-dollar mansion, posting these video feeds where they talk about how difficult it is for black people in America and how hard we got it. Or we'll have the LeBron James, you know, talking about how we're being hunted and it's just, you know, oh, yeah. As he wipes the tears off his face with, you know, his $100 bills. You know, it's ridiculous. These sycophants, it's hilarious. And it's also insulting the fact that they make these statements and they act as if like we're all just too dumb to piece it together, to just look around. You know, they believe we lack any type of self-awareness or just awareness, period. it's crazy. It's crazy, but those are just some of my thoughts. You know, I love this country, and I've served proudly for almost 20 years, actually, in the Army, well, Army National Guard, and I've done my time overseas, and if I have to go over again, I will do my job and support my my battle buddies to my left and my right, and look out for my family back home, because that's path that I've chosen, and no one got in my way, because any problems that I have in my life, I learned years ago that it starts within. A lot of the answers, a lot of the keys to your own salvation are right there inside. But of course, we have the mainstream media, we have other people, these outside entities that want you to be dependent on them, or whatever program they're pushing, or whatever it is, because there's money in it. So the sooner we look at that and we become more objective over subjective and become more focused and more, more belligerent, or more just, hey, this is, maybe not belligerent, Maybe just we'll go indirect. I think it'll be the world will be a much better place if we're more honest, more direct. But hey, what do I know? I'm just some guy. But anyway, those are just some of my thoughts. And I'd love to hear what some of your thoughts are on racism in America, or I should say the race obsession in America. So please feel free to hit me up, shoot me a message, either through Anchor, or you can reach me via email or through on a couple other different platforms. So I'm not a hard man to find. All right, take care. Snail Nation out.